You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I was wondering what the government should be doing to take a stand against China's breaches in human rights. Do sanctions work? I talked to Green Party Gulruz Gurraman about what she thinks about the government, what the government should be doing right now to stand up to what's happening in Xinjiang about the persecution of Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah, so I think we can all kind of begin by agreeing that there is an atrocity being committed against the Uyghur minority in China by the government of that country. I think what's concerning is the constant pressure to prove these atrocities by a minority who is stuck in sort of the secretive closed-door system, and we've just had enough reports, enough first-hand accounts and enough independent accounts of what's happening to say, okay, so an atrocity is being committed, it amounts to persecution or crimes against humanity. It doesn't necessarily need to be proved as genocide before the international community acts. It's absolutely serious enough as it is. So in terms of what our government could do, I mean, we can and should begin to raise this as an atrocity that the international community and our allies in the region, because we are an Asia-Pacific nation, should act on in terms of getting together and talking about what pressure and sanction can happen to bring China into the international rules-based order when it comes to the Uyghur minority.
What sort of specific actions does that look like?
Well, no one has actually, I mean, we haven't actually gone into our UN forums or into our regional forums and said, hey, this is a huge concern and we actually need to act. That would be the starting point. And then we would have to look at, you know, what we and others are willing to do, but we need to make sure that it's clear that all forms of sanction, all forms of diplomatic pressure on the table. Now, trade sanctions have a very, very mixed bag of success when it comes to enforcing human rights. So, you know, we have the classic example of what the United States and others did to Iraq under Saddam Hussein's rule, and it didn't make anything better for the Kurdish community or anyone else in that country, whilst it actually had the worst impact on the most vulnerable. China is obviously a bit different, but they are a big trading partner, and I know that there will be a huge consideration, especially as we and others struggle with the economic downfall of the pandemic. So, you know, those things always get taken into account when we're talking about something like this, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that we're talking about broad trade sanctions, because, again, little evidence that works anyway. But there are other forms of diplomatic pressure. There's certainly the very open possibility of us regulating our own companies and SOEs so that we know that we're not directly contributing to China's ability to persecute the Uyghurs. And information's come out just over the last week to suggest that we're not even doing that. So, you know, and it's always with the complicity of commercial corporate entities through history that atrocities have been able to be committed. So that might be a starting point.
So our Uyghur population in New Zealand, how are they going at the moment, and are they being heard by the New Zealand government?
I think they are, as you'd expect, pretty horrified, traumatised, and actually pretty scared, because we know that even here in New Zealand that surveillance of communities does happen by authoritarian regimes like China. So what I have heard, and I think it's our responsibility to believe those communities, is that kind of surveillance and pressure and fear-based control is happening to them even here. So, you know, so that's something that we need to act on, because actually this is something that our own citizens, our own communities are impacted by even in New Zealand. So standing with them will mean that we speak out against what's happening to them when we raise this issue with the Chinese, with our Chinese counterparts and their representatives here in New Zealand.
It seems like some action has happened this week in the government because of media attention and because of this documentary from Stuff. Is it frustrating to need that media sensation to have these voices heard?
Yeah, it really is, and I think it's really frustrating that we need a direct New Zealand link before we raise some of these issues in our international forums. But but as we've just found, there is one, and as with the revelations about Air New Zealand's assistance to the Saudi military in their war in Yemen, we're kind of starting to look like we're reliant on the media to reveal to us as a government the ways that even an SOE like Air New Zealand is directly involved in potential war crimes. And now we're finding other corporates. We know that the super fund just a couple of weeks ago divested from investments where it was complicit in the occupation of the West Bank in Palestine. So it shouldn't be this way, and I think that's my purpose in terms of calling for a select committee inquiry into New Zealand SOE and company engagement in international humanitarian crimes. We don't have to look at, broadly, people kind of do get that exhaustion from looking at human rights breaches, which we know that every Western and non-Western nation is involved in. But when we're talking about really serious atrocity crimes, like the war in Yemen, like the occupation of Palestine, like the persecution of the Uyghur minority in China, we have a very, very clear legal and moral obligation to ensure that New Zealanders aren't involved in committing those breaches.
That was Green Party's Gulriz Gariman on how the government should engage in serious human rights breaches, specifically our connection to the persecution of Uyghurs in China.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.